Accidents can happen anywhere, anytime, and they do. And the consequences can be grave. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, unintentional injury causes more people between the ages of 1 and 44 to die than any other illness or disease. But the people of Central New York can rest easier knowing that we have right here in our community a level 1 trauma center that offers the finest in care for all its patients. Joining me this morning to help us better understand the breadth of its reach is Steve Adkisson, a registered nurse and the Upstate Trauma Nurse Outreach Coordinator. He also serves his community as a paramedic and a firefighter. My God, you do everything, don't you? Well, welcome, Steve. Thanks for joining us this morning. First, help us understand, what do we mean when we say a level one trauma center? What does that mean?
A level one trauma center is a designation that is given currently in New York State to a hospital that serves as definitive care for a traumatically injured patient. And what that means to the community at large is that in the event that you are traumatically injured, that where were you need to be, essentially. There's level two and level three designations, and there's different criteria that a hospital has to meet. And as a level one trauma center, what that means is that we have available to you in the community every service you could possibly need for the traumatically injured patient, from neurosurgery to plastic surgery to surgical services to orthopedics, are all available to you 24/7 here within this facility. And
so it's around the clock.
It's around the clock, highest level of care available for the traumatically injured patient.
So what standards have to be met? In other words, I know you've met the standards set by the American College of Surgeons and the state of New York.
The state of New York is what we call the 708 code, are the standards that we currently meet for a level one trauma center. And that they're a high standard of care for the treatment of the trauma patient. So, and there's a whole book, essentially, that comes with that that's filled with the specifics of what's entailed, what's expected of us, and then there's our own internal process that dictates what is best patient practice, and that's based on national standards for what can be the best patient outcome possible for no matter what type of traumatic injury you receive.
So you have to be recertified every year, or how
often? Well, the certification process comes through the Department of Health currently, and I don't know the exact schedule for our certification, but we are designated by the state currently.
So you really are at the top.
Yeah, we're at the top.
We're
the second largest geographical area of all the trauma centers in New York State. And to give you an idea of the area that we cover, that we take patients from, we go all the way past Auburn. We go all the way out to Herkimer, as far north as Messina, and almost down to the Pennsylvania border. So we take patients from a huge catchment area, large geographical area. We're the designated level one trauma center for this area. The next level one trauma center to your west is Rochester, and the next is Albany.
So if we didn't have upstate level one trauma center and you had a traumatic injury, which we're going to define better, you would end up having to go to Rochester.
Yeah, and it's very important, too, because there's something called the golden rule or the golden hour in trauma. And what it basically states, and this is verifiable via data, is that in the event of a traumatic injury, you have 60 minutes to get to a level one trauma center in order to improve your chances of survival by almost 60%.
Wow.
And the numbers fall off precipitously. Once you hit that 60 minutes, the survivability rate of most traumas drops drastically. And of course, there's outliers to it, but it just kind of underscores the importance of having that high level of care available, because like you've pointed out, trauma is one of the number one killer of young people in the country.
Well, let's talk more about when we say trauma, what we mean. Define for me what trauma means.
trauma essentially for us breaks down into three major categories. There's blunt, which could be anything from being assaulted with a baseball bat or being in a car accident. Those are blunt force injuries. There's penetrating. The classic penetrating injuries you think about are the stab wounds, the gunshot wounds. But it could be, we've had people fall on fence posts and be impaled. So there's a penetrating into the viscera, into the body. There's an actual penetration. And then there's thermal injuries. And you can be traumatized by both cold, especially apropos this time of year, and by thermal injuries too. So those are the broad categories that traumatic injury falls into for us and that we treat and track statistically.
Wow, it just reminds me of what happened, out in Phoenix or in Tucson, mm-hmm. with that with our state senator, who mm-hmm. Assembly person, mm-hmm. who basically got shot in the head, and mm-hmm. how quickly they got her to a level one trauma center, mm-hmm. and how hopefully that will mean her complete or at least optimal recovery.
Yeah, very, very important.
Yeah. So basically, why is it so important, you were saying, to have a trauma center so close? Is it mostly because of the golden hour and the timing?
It's the golden hour, but, it's important to have it anywhere. When you think about it, when you're sick or you're hurt, no matter what the injury is, you want to receive the best care possible. And being a level one trauma center and meeting those standards assures that you're going to have that best care possible. So it's important for the people of Central New York to know that we exist as their level one, that we're verified, and we have the best services possible to take care of the critically injured patient.
Especially, it strikes me, as if you have that kind of sudden injury, there's so much stress that falls around the family mm-hmm. as well, that if you're somewhat closer to home, mm-hmm. it facilitates people visiting you, staying near you, as opposed to you having to travel all the way to somewhere like Rochester mm-hmm. to be taken care of, which has to put tremendous strain, additional strain.
Yeah, you want to take care of your own first. These are the people of our community, and we want to serve them in this way. And it does. Like you said, no one sees this coming. No one wakes up one day and says, "Ooh, 2 o'clock, I've got that car accident scheduled I got to get to."
Oh, my God.
And then it comes upon them, and, suddenly this is visited upon you, and it's traumatic not only in a physical sense but emotionally. And our care extends beyond the patient, too.
Tell us what you mean.
And you realize that it's not just the patient that's been injured. You've got the family, the dynamic of all the people that are now concerned about this individual and caring for them. We have our social work efforts and things like that to help them decompress, to help them keep them informed what's going on with their loved one.
Just very briefly, we only have a couple seconds left before our break. Tell me just an overview of who makes up the staff. What kinds of people?
The trauma team is really all-encompassing. It involves pre-hospital, all the way to the hospital and after. Pre-hospital, you have your EMS providers, your first responders. Hospitals, you have your surgeons, nurses, and then afterwards you have your rehabilitation.
I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because we do have to take a short break, but we'll be right back. Please stay with us. Linda Cohen along with you. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR. Welcome back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with Steve Atkison, trauma nurse from Upstate's Level 1 Trauma Center here at University Hospital. And before the break, we were just talking a little bit about who staffs the Level 1 Trauma Center. Tell us a little bit more about kind of the variety. You've alluded to the variety of people 24/7 that are there.
Yeah, we have a large comprehensive team, and everyone's an essential part of that team. I mean, even from housekeeping that resets the room and turns it over, but your direct clinical personnel, you have registered nurses that are specialty trained. We have specially trained trauma nurses here at Upstate Medical Center that's their primary role is to deal with the incredibly sick and ill patient. You have your trauma surgeons, you have your emergency physicians and attendings and their adjunct residents that are trained specifically to deal with trauma.
So within the surgical subspecialties, you have neurosurgery, you have cardiac surgery, you have the whole
neurosurgery,
range?
Cardiothoracic, orthopedic. The state is very specific on what specialties have to be available on tap for the patient immediately because you never know what's going to roll through the door because there's many times you don't have any notification. You don't know what type of patient's coming in, and many times we get what we call our walk-ins. People that walk in with fairly, you're surprised that they're walking, to be honest with you. They walk in and you're shocked that they're talking to you, and they need every bit of the care that you can give them. So you have to have those things, all of those subspecialties on tap.
As you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, what an incredibly comforting thought that if, God forbid, we were to have either a natural disaster or even a terrorist kind of mm-hmm. disaster here in Central New York, to have a center that could welcome victims of that kind of event, it just is amazingly.
Yeah, and our ER, I have to applaud our emergency room here, is very proactive in drilling for mass disaster. You'll see every summer the entire staff is mandated for them through our facility that they go out, set up the complete hazmat treatment, they drill.
Like fight. A fire drill.
No, they fight like you train like you fight. And so they're very proactive with that.
Before the break, we were talking about the importance of timing, and you mentioned that the proper trauma care, I read a statistic, can save 20% of the 100,000 Americans who die annually from mm-hmm. traumatic injury. Is that inaccurate?
Oh, yeah. I mean, getting to definitive care, what we call it, being at the definitive care at the level one trauma center, there's an analogy in medicine. I don't know if analogy is the right word, but time is tissue. And whether it's a stroke, whether it's a heart attack, whether it's a trauma, time is crucial. And the sooner we get to the bleeding in your abdomen, we set the bone, we can restore function, we can manage injury if we get to it in time. But if when things tend to spiral out of control and they snowball, you're fighting a losing battle sometimes because it's just so much time has elapsed in the injury, but you still do your best.
I'm sure you do. Help us understand what happens a little bit about, when a patient arrives. Take us through a trauma admission.
Trauma code, essentially, they'll come in level one or level two, and the team responds. There's a gang page that goes out.
Let me back you up a minute. When you say they come in a level one or level two, what does that mean?
Level one, level two, there's regionally set criteria for the level of injury.
Oh, level of injury.
The
not
level
the
of injury.
Yeah.
Depending on how your injury is, you'll
It'll be categorized.
Or
as triaged.
Pre-triaged. And you immediately have, responding immediately, that on staff you have your emergency room staff, which is your nurses, your physicians, your x-ray techs, your CT scanner. They're all right there. Respiratory therapy, also very crucial, that begin the initial management. Within minutes of that page going out, the surgical team respond to the trauma bay. And then that team comes in and assists with the management and take over the management of the care of that critically injured patient. And very rapid sequence, all of our physicians here have to be certified in what's called advanced trauma life support. It's a standardized approach to the traumatically injured patient, mm-hmm. and it was developed out of a need for a standardized approach. And I always tell students, everything you need to learn about taking care of the trauma patient, you learned in kindergarten, A, B, C, and D, airway, breathing, circulation, and disability. And so that approach, that standardized approach, is taken no matter what the injury is. And because you have to manage those four things in that order and with priority. The patient's brought in, they're exposed, they're inspected for injury. We manage those four things. And we pride ourselves on expediting within our facility, because definitive care is, there's still definitive care within the hospital. You have a pelvic fracture and you're bleeding. Well, you need to be in interventional radiology. We like to have patients to those crucial services within 15 minutes of coming to our door. If you need to be in the OR, you've got a major internal abdominal injury, let's get you to the OR. We don't want to languish where you don't need to be. If you're really hurt and you need intensive care, let's get you to the surgical ICU expeditiously. So we have a team that's focused on that and works hard to meet that internal standard.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that is, as you said, with the golden hour notion, that's crucially important that there's a kind of no red tape or things mm-hmm. in the way of treatment. Yeah. You come in, and also what strikes me is that you get people coming in ambulances, but you also get them coming in helicopters, mm-hmm. don't you? Tell us about that, because that's so unique.
Well, as a level one trauma center, because our geographical area is so huge, if you think about it, let's say you're up in Alexandria Bay and you're in an accident and you're fortunate enough to have cell phone reception. It's a good 20 minutes before EMS gets to you, and they package you up. You're 40 minutes, let's say, to the golden hour. Unless even if you're driving a supersonic rocket-powered ambulance, you're not going to get to my door within the golden hour. Well, a helicopter can have you to my roof in 10 minutes. And so we have flight services. I think last year, off the top of my head, over 400 flights came in of patients onto our pad. That number is climbing. It'll go up almost 20% probably this year.
Wow, that's an incredible resource.
It's a wonderful resource to have. I mean, we have several different services. Onondaga Air One, which is our very own here in the county, that services us on many levels, not only as medical but as law enforcement. And then Mercy Flight, LifeNet, all those play a crucial role in getting us the injured patient.
Another thing that strikes me that plays a crucial role, and you especially as a paramedic and firefighter yourself, are the people out in the field in our community, the other firefighters and mm-hmm. paramedics and EMT personnel that are out there. They seem to be a crucial part of this team.
Well, they're the first step.
First responder.
Yeah, if we have the golden hour in EMS, we call it the platinum 10 minutes. Because when you get when a paramedic rolls up on the scene, or a firefighter, or a police officer, it's unfiltered. It's the injury in the raw. You don't have a radio report. No one's stabilized. No one's done anything. So you're pulling up on something that's completely unknown scenario. And our paramedics are phenomenal in the field for the problem solving that they do, for the rapid triage and assessment, and to make that decision to get the patient to us as quickly as possible. And our ground commanders who make the decision, hey, this patient needs to fly, not go by ground. And all the involved, and a lot of these people are volunteers.
That's extraordinary.
They
It's extraordinary. Well, how did you get to be trained in all of this?
I came out of a general ICU special care unit in a hospital I was working at. As a registered nurse. And I went to the ER, and oddly enough, my first day in the emergency room was 9/11. The day the towers got hit.
Oh my God!
And
what a way to start.
It was quite the gestalt. And a friend of mine who worked in the ER, he got me interested in emergency medicine and in the firefighting service, and he slowly recruited me into each step of it. And it's a never turn back situation. I don't know that I could work anywhere but the emergency room, simply because of the nature of it and. There's a certain symmetry and beauty to the emergency room. It's a controlled chaos. It's never the same thing twice, but it's really a calling to work in the ER.
It sounds like listening to you that possibly people who are listening to you, some of our listeners might be inspired similarly because it sounds like a very, very, very noble and inspired kind of work.
It takes a special nut, to work in the ED. It takes a special individual.
I also know, to change the subject slightly, that, or actually really a segue from this, is that you have a special personal crusade that you've been working on as a result of your work, and that has to do with the no texting while driving law.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Texting is the new plague. That's my personal opinion, and the numbers will support that opinion. You look in Onondaga County alone from 2008 to 2009, I get the statistics. In that year alone, we had a 53% increase in automobile accidents. When you break those down by category, texting while driving or driving while distracted by an electronic device was 52% of those. From a statistical standpoint, those are huge numbers. The level of distraction that is present in automobiles today is phenomenal. I mean, it's unprecedented. You know, 30 years ago, we didn't have DVD players in the car. We didn't have texting.
I've actually noticed, just to interject a minute, I've actually noticed video screens in cars, and I'm thinking, how can you be watching television and driving?
I'm never surprised. I'm not shocked anymore. My drive-in, I commute in from Utica every day, and I've seen people doing things in their car that, putting on their pants, putting on makeup, reading the newspaper, texting, watching videos, this whole gambit of things. And I mean, studies actually show that when you're texting and driving, you're 3 times more impaired than if you were over the legal limit.
So your big push is to stop
Don't text
that.
And drive. Yeah.
Don't text and drive. And you started a program, Let's Not Meet by Accident program?
Yeah, Let's Not Meet by Accident is a great program. It's been around for years, and the original onus of it was drinking and driving, which, don't get me wrong, is still a huge problem. But we've really done a great job at addressing that. You know, there's still a problem, but kids are educated from youth on up, and there's a stigma that's attached to it. Well, now we've got this rapidly developing technology, and it changes every week, comes into it, and it's becoming a bigger problem.
So you're getting this into the schools.
Getting it into the schools. Schools come here to our trauma bay, and I also will go out to schools and teach this program for
Incredible.
Them.
Well, Steve Akison, nurse, registered nurse with the Trauma Care Service here and trauma nurse coordinator with the Upstate Trauma Service, thank you so much for joining us today, getting this message out and telling us all about our Level 1 Trauma Center. We can all rest a lot easier. We've got to take a short break, and I would love you to stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.